strong. We at His feet may fall. We'll join the everlasting throne and crown Him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting throne and crown Him Lord of all.
As we prepare our hearts for prayer today, there are, I'm sure, several requests out there. Some of those that I know about as far as health issues and changes. Don and Juanita are going to be moving this next week and would desire an interest in your prayers as they make this change. It's going to be a pretty big step, isn't it, Brother Don? And then Helen Atnip called this morning and is having a great deal of pain with her back. And Julie Brooks is still not able to be here with us. Joanna, continue to remember her. And then Max and Sue are here with us today. And remember all of your church family. There's some things that are just changing for a lot of different people right now. And we need to lift them up and ask God's power to be made manifest in their lives. And we're just so glad that you're here today. And we pray that you will be blessed and drawn closer to God. And we ask you to join us in prayer at this time, if you would stand together. I know Pastor Gary always opens the altar, and if any of you would like to slip down to the altar to share your thoughts with the Lord, you're certainly welcome to come at this time.
Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit on me, melt me.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, we are indeed blessed to be in the house of God. What a privilege it is to stand and sing your praises. Lord, we feel your presence here today. We feel like you are ready to pour out your Holy Spirit upon our hearts and our lives. And Father, we stand in need of a lot of things today, but the greatest need we have is the presence of God Himself working in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, we would remember those that are ill, have physical ailments, and are not able to be here. And Lord, we want to lift them up and continue to remember those who are fighting battles. And Lord, just give them encouragement. And with your holy healing hand, we pray for your touch. Relieve those illnesses according to your will and glory. And Father, as we pray today, we would remember our pastor who's away. We would remember all of those that have gathered in your house. We earnestly crave your presence today and ask you to come. Thank you for the beautiful songs we've sung. Thank you for the continuing acts of worship. Look upon us today. Touch us again, afresh and anew. Anoint us with your Holy Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their
How many of you like to think on the positive side of things? How many like to think on the negative side of things? How many of you realize that there's going to be both positive and negative things come into your life? I think we all realize that. In our own lives, since we moved to Missouri, there have been some very positive things. Or moved back to Missouri, there's been some real positive things, but there's been some negative things that we've had to face with loss of loved ones and even with the passing of Ruth's sister-in-law, Freddie. In December, loss of my mother and father and Ruth's brothers and sisters. And you know, we've had to deal with those things. They're a reality. And yet, we know that Jesus is still Lord, that He's still taking care of us. Even when we go through difficult times and face battles that we would rather probably not fight. I'd like for you to turn with me this morning to Mark, the 4th chapter. We're going to begin reading there with the 35th verse. I was told this morning in Sunday school that someone spoke on this passage of Scripture not very long ago. I hope I don't duplicate it, and I hope it brings you encouragement and help as you face what you must face in life. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves,
quiet, be still. The wind died down and was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Father, we ask your blessing of the reading of your word today in Christ's name. Amen. As I read over this passage of scripture and made preparations to speak to you this morning, I don't know if you noticed it or not, but I wondered what happened to the other boats that Jesus wasn't in. It says there was other boats with him. I guess I have that kind of devious thinking ability someplace way down inside me that said, hey, these guys didn't have Jesus in their boat. And I wonder what was the results of their trying to pass through this storm. But this morning, as we think about this passage of Scripture and living for Christ and being a Christian is not always smooth sailing. I love to be out on the water in a boat at night when the full moon's shining and the water is smooth. You can just see the little ripples coming across the water. I can't imagine anything more beautiful than that, other than landing a big fish maybe in that moonlight. But it's not always smooth that way. And sometimes the water gets rough. And sometimes the sailing is difficult. Several years ago, I took a preacher with me fishing down in Arkansas, and a storm came up, and I said, well, we're going to make a run for the boat dock. So I reached over and hit the throttle on that old bass boat, and it jumped up on top of the water, and we were ripping across it when the storm hit. And he reached over and grabbed a hold of my arm and said, we're going to die, we're going to die. I don't think we are today. But I didn't get him settled down. In fact, he thumped around so much in the boat that he broke the back in two on the seat that he was sitting in. He was very frightened. Of course, I was cool, you know, in the midst of this storm, jumping over these big waves and splashing water every place. But when you get in rough water in life, most of the time you can't just throttle up and run away from the storm. You need help. You need Jesus' touch. You need the calming that can come only from Christ. Little song that the children used to sing with Jesus in the boat, you're safe in the storm. And with Jesus in your boat, regardless of what the situations may be, I take great pleasure in telling you, you're safe when Jesus is in your boat. From this passage of Scripture, we see revealed a great truth. I'm really glad that Christ acts that we read about in the Scripture are full of truth, are as full of truth as His teaching. Jesus taught them a lot of things, but His acts, the things that He did, the miracles that He worked, were such a touch for the lives of those disciples. Let's look for just a few moments at what is taking place here. The waves broke over that boat. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in a boat that the waves were breaking over, but if you have, you can get excited pretty easy. especially if the water that's supposed to be on the outside of the boat is coming into the inside of the boat. You would rather be someplace else. I went down to the dock one morning to look at my boat, and I just bought this boat, and I thought I'd made a real good buy, and there wasn't anything sticking out except the top of the seats and the bow. All the rest of it was underwater. Now, I said, this is not a very good situation. How can you fish out of a boat that's underwater? How can you get to the other side of the lake in a boat that won't keep the water out? Well, to make a long story short, I flipped the switch on the bilge pump, and there was enough of the pipe sticking out of the water that the bilge pump was hooked to, that in a little bit had the boat back on top. I'd like to tell you it was a great story, but you know what? The next morning when I went down to the dock, the boat was sitting in the exact same position as it had been the day before. Someplace there was a hole in my boat and a leak. But anyway, as the waves broke over this boat that Jesus and the disciples were in, they were nearly swamped. A storm had arisen, and I'm told that on the Sea of Galilee, those can come up just like that. There's mountains on every side of that thing, and when the air gets trapped exactly right over the Sea of Galilee, you can have a storm before you can hardly snap your fingers. Their circumstances change from a nice little trip to the other side. I'm sure they were pretty wet, and they were afraid. The storm had turned against them. And you know, when adversity comes, it may seem overwhelming. How many of you, and I don't want you to raise your hands, but I want you to think for just a moment, how many of you have faced an adversity that seems like there's absolutely no answer and it's almost overwhelming to you? And your soul cries out, Lord, don't you care? We're about to go under. It may be a financial thing. Maybe job insecurity. It may be a family problem. It may be a disease. It may be that death is imminent to some of your loved ones? Where is the Almighty when those things happen? Where is the Jesus that you need in your storm? Well, the disciples looked around for their Jesus. And the scripture tells us he was asleep on a pillow in the boat or a cushion. I had a hard time picturing that because I've been, like I shared with you a while ago, in a storm. And I, you know, if the boat was like my boat, there's not too many places to sleep. And if you've seen a boat from the fishing boats that they used in that day, they're not any bigger than a 19 or 20 foot fishing boat. So they're not a big ship. They called them ships, but they're not very big. And I think they'd go down pretty easily. And the water was coming over the sides. And they were afraid. In fact, evidently it had become so critical in that boat that they didn't know what was going to happen with the next wave. And you may be in that spot today. You may not know what's going to happen with the next wave. The circumstances, whether from sin or whatever, the prospects of a safe landing can suddenly disappear. And when you've put all of your human efforts into what you're trying to accomplish and the way you're trying to make it through, what's the next step? It's looking for the Lord, isn't it? In your situation, do you look for the Lord? In your difficulty of circumstance, do you look for the Lord when you've done everything you know to do? Maybe you start looking for the Lord before you've done everything you know to do. They came running to Jesus. Well, whatever, however much running they could do in that little bitty boat. And they said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Don't you care? Does it seem to you, are you facing a problem? Are you facing a circumstance that it seems like no one cares if you drown? Is it your thinking, or is it God is not there?" They were sailing along. Suddenly the boat is swamped and sinking. Surely it was time to look for Jesus. Surely it was time to see what the Lord was doing. Is God asleep? Is he taking a nap of indifference? Does Jesus care? There's a beautiful old song entitled, "Does Jesus Care?" And the answer always comes back as you sing through that song. Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. Jesus cares where you are today. He cares what's happening in your life. He's interested in what's taking place. And when we look to Jesus, we look toward that empty tomb, that cross that Jesus used when it looked the darkest to say he cared for you and for me. In 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, verses 7 through 11, listen to the thought that is placed here. "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be power forever and ever. Amen." Makes you feel like you want to shout a little bit, doesn't it? So read that passage of Scripture. Praise the Lord. He has that power. He has the ability to stand and tell the wind to be quiet. He's a mighty God. He will help. And in this passage of Scripture, he got up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Be quiet." You see, he's Almighty God. He don't lack anything that is needed in your worst situation. I think sometimes in my own life I fail to see him as Almighty God. With all the resources of heaven and earth centered in one person, Jesus Christ himself. In Colossians, the first chapter, beginning with the 15th verse, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authority. All things were created by him and for him." He is the Christ. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. An encouraging time? Is the boat sinking? It's time to call on God Almighty. It's time to seek his presence. He rebuked the wind. He has no rebuke for those who have needs. But he has rebukes for those things that cause our distress. The stormy power of sin, sorrow, and fear, he rebukes. For you see, God has given him control over everything. God's justice was served, and wrath was rebuked for the future for the believer. There's no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. How would you like to be in the boat with the guy who can just say to the wind, "Be quiet"? I believe that's where every Christian believer is today. They're in the boat with the Christ who can say to the wind, "Be quiet, be still." Whatever may come in our lives, he removes both the cause and the effect of the storm that we are facing. He saves the Christian believer from wrath and the power of sin. He saves from fear, and he fills the soul with peace. I was telling you about running on that lake in the storm. I was glad when I saw the dock and was able to pull in out of the wind and the storm and all of the waves, and suddenly it was peaceful. And when we're in the midst of the storm, we desire his peace. In John, the 14th chapter and verse 27, Jesus said to his disciples, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." When I tied up to that old dock that day, It was a peaceful experience. And when we're in the boat with Jesus, he brings us toward the dock where there's peace and quiet. The wind died down. It no longer had power. The wind obeyed his command. His disciples called and he spoke. It was done. His word is power. Let's go back to his name for just a moment. Emmanuel, God with us. Recognize what God with us means. Do you think the disciples recognized that day before he spoke to the wind who was in the boat with them? I think sometimes we reach the place of last resort before we recognize what God with us really means. I think sometimes we have to really get into a critical position before we acknowledge what God with us means. Completely calm. In the book of Psalms, Psalm 107:29 says, he settled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. That's our God. That's the one who joins, no matter how small the little boat is, who's in the boat with those believers. Christ coming to our world, his sacrifice for you and me, his resurrection has a chilling effect on the powers that seek to destroy his children. If you belong to Jesus today, there's no power that can overcome or destroy you. In the 119th Psalm, verse 165, great peace have they who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. The promises of God himself. Peace in the storms of life, when the billows of death raise up around us. Jesus is in the boat. He can speak very readily. The scripture here says they were terrified. Now, I don't know what that means exactly. I think that preacher that was in the boat with me that day was terrified. In fact, I think he was scared almost beyond belief. But we still made it. Who is this, they said? Who is this guy? Do we really recognize what Jesus Christ is able to do in us and for us? He said, you may say, Pastor Don, I've heard this a jillion times. Doesn't make any difference how many times you've heard it. You need to practice it. I need to practice it in my heart and in my life. Hearing it is not enough. We need to practice the presence of Jesus Christ in our boat, regardless of what is taking place. You see, as human beings, our understanding is dimmed. But when we see him as he is in the glory of his Father, we will truly see and understand the meaning and have the answers to all of our questions. If I were to ask you today, how many of you has questions about life and what's taking place? Probably every one of us here would have to raise our hands. But listen to what Revelations, the first chapter, beginning with the 13th verse, says. And among the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in the furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held 7 stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun, shining in its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and hold the keys of death and Hades." When you see Jesus on that day that's written about in Revelation, all the questions will already have been answered. When you see his face, when I see his face, all the questions I have about life and the difficulties and the problems and the illnesses and the things that cause me concern will be answered like that. For you see, he is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. He is God Almighty and a little wind and waves on the water can be hushed at his command. Let's stand together. I don't know what you may be battling today. Hope I haven't put you to sleep. But in these closing moments of this service, I'd like for you to turn and just visit with the Lord for a couple of minutes. And then we'll have a closing prayer. We're so glad for your love and your mercy and your concern. We're glad that you're in our boat. We're glad that you have the answers. We praise you because you are God Almighty. Thank you for what you have done. Thank you for what you're doing. And thank you for what you will do in the future. We praise you and honor you and ask your blessings on these gathered here today in Christ.